like a new Lincoln with all of its class. I like a martini and bird on the glass. I'm gonna start living, you wait and see. Nothing but the best is good enough for me.
All right. Hey, welcome to a very special and different Frankly Drinking. I'm your host, Lawrence.
And I'm Luke. And you're listening to Frankly Drinking.
Now, the reason we sound a little bit different is because this is our quarantine show. Just like everybody else, we are cooped up in basements and separate from each other right now, which is surreal.
That's right.
And just not right.
Yeah, it's a little different. And the geography, I think we should go ahead and just say, I mean, I'm out in suburbia land in what's called Milton outside of Atlanta. And Larry, you're inside the perimeter there.
I'm holding down Casa de Cool Studios. That's right. But we thought we should do this because, you know, just because it's weird in spirit, we can maintain the spirit of the show.
Yeah. Why not? And, you know, we know a lot of people are having it worse than we are. And, you know, our heart goes out to everybody who's having a rough go. And, you know, we thought we'd do the show, maybe distract some of the people whose biggest problem is they're just hanging out at home a little too much.
That's right. I mean, I've been hanging out a lot at home. What have you been doing? The whole family's there, right?
Yeah. We got the whole crew here. It's been good. And my wife had me build a garden for her. So we got a raised bed garden out there.
There you go.
Quite a bit of help from a young man named Mitchell on that. He did like 90% of the work and I directed him.
You just stood around with a drink in your hand?
It was during the daytime, so no. But it was kind of like that.
So you stood around with a watered down drink in your hand?
I did stand around with a Coke Zero out there a couple times.
Ah, nice. So, well, speaking of drinks, before I begin, you know, digging in here, you can't not offer a man a drink. So can I offer you a bourbon?
Yeah, sounds good.
Well,
what are we drinking?
You've got a bottle that I recommended, especially for this show, that I have here as well. And that's Old Forester 1920 Prohibition Style Bourbon.
So yeah.
Pour yourself a glass of that.
This is
good
stuff.
We're starting strong. Yeah, we're starting strong here. This is 115 proof.
Well, why not? I mean, we got to start somewhere, and why not go with something nice and strong, spicy, delicious,
medicinal, very
medicinal.
And that's the point. Yeah, basically, Prohibition 1920 is Old Forester's kind of it's a marketing thing, but it's also a throwback to their 1920. Prohibition style whiskey that they were allowed to make starting with Prohibition. So six distilleries were allowed once Prohibition started to make medicinal whiskeys for medicinal purposes. And this is harkening back to that recipe.
I could use some of this medicine right about now.
That's right.
Actually, Larry, this bottle, I'm going to open it. It's got a nice sound to it. Yep.
Oh, yeah,
it's got a cork in there. My my brother-in-law, Brian, gave me this for Christmas. So it's a very nice bottle.
Nice. It's a delicious pour. It's great on a cold night, or it's great just to lift your spirits, give you a Kentucky hug, a warm Kentucky hug.
Ah, yes.
Very good. And, you know, I was thinking about this a lot when you know, obviously the last pandemic this country had was in 19, well, the whole world had on this level was in 1918. So, you know, it started in 1918. It's really the majority of that pandemic happened in 1919, and it wrapped up in the fall of 1920, when it, I don't know if it, I'm sure there was a vaccine developed, but it kind of petered out in 1920 in the fall, and prohibition began in October of 1920 and lasted for 12 years, 13 years. So what a weird thing to think about that they went through that horrible pandemic and then they went through 13 years of being dry.
Yeah. They couldn't even legally drink when the pandemic had blown over and they needed to celebrate. So a little odd, I agree.
Very strange.
But so here we are. But we get to enjoy this 1920 style bourbon as a result. Yeah. Do you have yours there?
So I have elected on my end to pour a cocktail in honor of the
night. What?
Yep. I am drinking out of a highball glass, actually a Collins glass, which is the recommended pour, or the glassware to pour it in. This is the Old Forester recipe from their website for a 1920s highball. And it's a 1920 bourbon, Old Forester. And then it is a syrup called Oleum Saccharum, which basically means it's the oil of citrus. So you can purchase this or you can make it yourself. And I elected to make it myself. And it's a really easy recipe. I'm going to put it up on Instagram. But basically, it's just a little bit of a lemon, kind of lemony sugar syrup and the bourbon. And then you put in some soda water. And then you fill it with ice and put a lemon rind on there. It's delicious. Wow. It's great for hot days. It goes down easy. And it's not too sweet. It's kind of just right.
Larry, that sounds good. But I got to wonder. I mean, I'm just having one of those days. I'm really kind of wondering if this 1920 could be improved on after it goes from the bottle to the glass, you know, to my mouth. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I was feeling like a cocktail, kind of throwing back to the 1920s. But at the same time, I just wasn't feeling like drinking it straight tonight.
You know, well, to each his own, man.
Right.
To each his own. Right.
And this thing required about 6 lemons to make. So my whole thing for this episode is when life throws you some lemons, you make a lemon based cocktail.
You didn't put 6 lemons in that cocktail, right?
No. It's only like 3/4 ounces of the syrup in the recipe. So it's not even an ounce for flavor.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you got some left over. You can make this thing tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You
can It lasts like 2 weeks in the fridge, 3 weeks in the fridge or so. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's delicious. So I figured that would pick up my spirits. To each his own. I mean, if you want to drink it at 115 proof straight out the bat, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a good
proof.
Show. It's gonna be a really good show.
That's tasty, man. That is tasty. So I think we're going to play some little music here.
Of course. Yeah.
And, first up tonight, we've got a great song, classic Sinatra song, that, a lot of people will know, be very familiar with. And I think it kind of sets the mood, for the show. So let's roll it, Larry.
I said that's life.
That's life.
As funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face. I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you,
that's life.
I can't deny it.
From the album That's Life.
Not yes.
Yeah. Not to be confused with That Is Life. That's Life.
That Is Life would have been a much harder lyric to sing. Not quite as catchy. But yes, that is from, like you said, the 1966 LP titled That's Life. And That's Life, the song, was one that Frank actually heard on the radio in 1965. He heard a version by O.C. Smith, and he thought, hey, this is a good song. And then fast forward about a year, and then he recorded it for That's Life. It's it was written by Dean Key and Kelly Gordon. A lot of people have done covers of it, other versions rather, and but Frank really made the song a big hit. It was recorded and released in 63 by Morgan Montgomery, but that song did not take off at that time.
Morgan Montgomery?
Frank's version, the fantastic Ernie Freeman arrangement, and the playing of that Hammond organ. And, you know, I was torn about how we, you know, gave you the snippet tonight, because the Hammond organ at the beginning is so iconic and strong. But there's just something about this song. It's all about resilience. It's all about getting knocked down, getting back up, and ultimately, you know, having a positive outlook, even when you get banged around a bit. And Frank certainly took his lumps and got banged around, and he got back up. He always did. So yeah, it's a fantastic song. Larry, it's any apt. Thoughts about that?
No, it's apt. I mean, it's very, it's one of those things where I have to say that this is not my favorite Frank Sinatra song, but every time I do hear it, it just makes you feel better. It's got a great, you know, I was listening to it today. It's a beautiful mm-hmm. day today, and I was listening to it today, and it's so weird now that it's spring here in the South, and, you know, it's a beautiful day, and we have all this, you know, nightmare going on out there in the world that, you know, we're trying to sort out, and, you know, it's going to get better. We know it's going to get better, but it's just, you know, this kind of thing is what you need right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and two more little things about the song and Frank's recording of it. Frank was he was recording it, and he was asked by the producer to do a second take of the song. And
really?
Frank felt pretty good about the first one. Now, recording is not the same as movies, and we've talked about how Frank didn't want to do extra takes in movies, but you know, in the recording studio, he had a great care for his craft, and he would do extra takes and, you know, do another one. But in this case, he was a little bit unhappy. Let's say that's the family friendly term. He was a little unhappy about having to do the second take. And that's the one that got used, because he's got that a little bit of bite, a little bit of edge, a little defiant in that second take. And then, so that's the one that eventually got used. And one other note about it, Frank recorded this, performed it on A Man and His Music, the television special, A Man and His Music Part 2, that debuted in December of 1966. And that was a slightly different version. You can find these. We were watching this not too long ago, Larry. I think it was on Amazon Prime that we were watching.
Yeah, you can watch that on Amazon Prime for free.
Yeah, and it was great. There's so many great things about it. But Nelson Riddle did a little bit different arrangement, and but Frank performed it on A Man and His Music as well. And of course, it was a was one that he did sometimes in concert after this, and it's very closely associated with Frank.
Well, it's such a great song that it makes me want to take another sip of my cocktail here, you know, to tell you the truth. This is a very refreshing cocktail. We're going to do more cocktails on this show. It's not going to just be straight whiskey, by the way. But I figured that this is a great opportunity for not only making cocktails, because you don't want to go through all your good whiskey, right? You know, you want to mix. You want to mix some drinks, and you got a lot of time on your hands, right? You're walking around the kitchen in circles. You're seeing a bowl of lemons right there. Just peel those lemons and make some lemon syrup. I'm just saying. You know, like you should, anybody can pour a straight whiskey. I mean, I love straight whiskey. That's what the whole thing is. But
yeah,
make a cocktail every once in a while. Stop being boring. Don't just throw some Coke in there. Like actually, you know, seek out some good recipes. There's lots of recipes out there. I mean, it took me maybe 10, maybe 20 minutes total time to make this recipe or to make this syrup. So yeah.
You're going to be drinking those cocktails for a week or two here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I can't complain. You know,
by the way, Larry, a really strong kind of, powdered sugar deal with this 1920 old Forester Prohibition style. Quite tasty.
I think you're feeling it. It's it is tasty. It's 115 proof. You're going to get a lot more. You're going to get a lot more of Old Forester in that. I don't know what they're doing differently to make this Prohibition style, except for the proof. But I like Old Forester to mix, like a Old Forester 100 proof bottle and bond. I like that to mix, but I don't, I'm sorry, is that a bottle and bond product? I don't remember. Anyway, but basically Old Forester is not my favorite whiskey by any means. It's decent, but has a little too much banana in it for me or banana flavor. And I'm sorry, it has a little bit too much banana notes in it for me, but this one has, yeah, it's got a nice, just a robust feel, but it's smooth. And then there's not a whole bunch of char or anything, but it's got a great finish.
Oh yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Hmm.
Well, speaking of nice,
I'm just going to keep sipping on this and enjoying it.
By all means, go ahead. Speaking of nice, we've got a second Sinatra track here that we're just wall to wall Sinatra tonight, which is a good thing, you know, especially if you got nothing to do, you're sitting around listening to this show or driving around the car, getting out of the house and driving around and just looking at the sights, not really going anywhere. Just put this show on and listen, right?
Yeah, Larry, I've been doing that a bit around here, you know, just nowhere to go, but my daughter, Sadie, she likes to take a ride in the car.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just drive her kind of around the block in the country out here near my house. And
yeah, I put an album on and I'll drive around for at least half the record, or not the whole record, just to kill time. That's how I listen to music, like at least once a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we like to listen. Sadie and I like to listen to Frank in the car.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. I know that shocks you. Shocks you deeply, I'm sure. But
no Dino? No Dean?
We do like to listen to some Frank in the car. It's good. There's nothing. We were listening to some different things today. We pulled up the Main Event Live, the show that Sinatra did at Madison Square Garden 1974. We're listening to that today. And nice. Sadie was digging it. Yeah. So the next song we got a great song. It's a song that it's in keeping with our theme of sort of the optimistic side of Sinatra, the optimistic side of life. And in this case, the sunny side of the street. So Larry, let's maybe take a listen. And do we go to break? Are we going to go to break after that?
Yeah, we'll take a break, quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid, 'cause the rover, he got over.
Oh, hey, all you hip cats, it's your old pal here. You're listening to Frankly Drinking, the podcast that gives you three drinks and two songs from the great Frank Sinatra, my old buddy. Oh, wait a minute, I got that backwards. It gives you, let's see, three songs and two drinks from old Frank. What can be better than that? Well, anyway, I gotta go, but go pick up this podcast wherever you get your digital creations from. Well, you're drinking and listening to Frankly Drinking on the podcast. What's a podcast? I don't know. I'm gonna Google that now. What's a podcast?
If I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. All those chicks round my feet on the sunny, sunny side of the street.
And I really like the ending of that. That the ending of that is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking that too. A fantastic arrangement by Billy May on that. This song was done for the Come Swing With Me album, 1961. It was a great Capitol record. It was next to the last Capitol album released by Frank. And boy, it is a tight, quick, there is no nonsense on that record. I mean, it is,
he was not phoning
it in. I
think
it's about 30 minutes long, the original one. It's very tight and very good. I think 2/3 of the songs are like 2 minutes long or 2.5 minutes. They're very short and just great arrangements by Billy May. This song, Sunny Side of the Street, it was written in 1930 by Jimmy McHugh, lyrics by Dorothy Fields. And a lot of people did it. Everybody did it. Tommy Dorsey, you know, that Frank performed with, the Dorsey band, did it. And it's just a great part of Come Swing With Me. I cannot recommend Come Swing With Me enough. It's a great record. And this is a fantastic track, great performance by Frank. And like we agree, just a amazing orchestration. It has that whole Billy May, Nelson Riddle, Capitol sound to the nth degree. It's just perfect.
Yeah, I don't know if I've actually listened to this album all the way through. I mean, I don't even know if I've listened to the whole record once, ever. I mean, I know one or two songs off of it, but I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah, I really recommend it. I got the, a few years ago now, I got that CD package that Capitol did that had all the concept albums, all the Sinatra Capitol albums in one package. And so
that one from 1992,
this one I had from that. I mean, I know I'd bought it earlier too, but anyway, this CD got in my CD player in the car a few years ago and just, it was stuck in there for 6 months. I mean, not stuck, but it was a multi-disc player. And that thing was just in there month after month, and I wasn't just playing that, but every couple of days I was listening to that album again, and boy, is it good. Yeah.
Do you remember when there were CD changers? Like, maybe they still have that, but you could make a 6-disc like CD changer in this cartridge that you would put in your car stereo, and you could have like 6 disc you could rotate through in your car stereo.
Yes. Yes, Larry. I do remember that. In fact, I have a car. I still have a car that that has one of those in there, but that CD changer is broken. But
your car has the CD changer?
Yeah, Emma's Expedition has
your daughter?
Has one of those. But it just doesn't work anymore. But yeah.
Wow.
2001, I think.
Oh, it's a 2001.
Yeah. She's okay. Got an old one.
That makes sense. I just remember like I remember like go, like you're gonna head out for the night, like with your buds, mm-hmm. and it was like, hold on, I gotta load the CD changer with some new discs. I just bought these new CDs.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, that was a whole ritual, people. I mean, it's hard to explain to young people who might be listening, but yes, it was like, okay, let's put those CDs in there and get the new ones or pull out an old one. And yeah, I remember people had stacks of those cassette, like the cartridges that held the six CDs. Some people would have a half dozen of those in the back.
Right.
And then they could, you know, flip them in and out or.
Yeah. You always put
some of them in the trunk. Some of the changers were in the trunk.
Yeah. No, you had to pop the trunk and put them in there before you took off in the car.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And you would always leave. I mean, this is how I was, or how I remember it. I didn't have one myself, but
yeah,
you would have the disc that you always wanted to have was like in position six. 'Cause you didn't want that in position one. It would just play that thing first. So I would always put the one, or my friend would always have the most popular one in position six, and you had your new music in like 1 through 5.
Okay. So yeah, that's,
but yeah, that, I mean,
I think, you know, metaphorically, I think this was in the number six position in my car for like a year. I don't know.
Right.
It was in there. It was, I never got tired of it.
Well, however you're getting your Frank music and you're not getting tired of it, of course, but however you're getting your Frank music, I mean, as long as you're buying vinyl and you're listening on Apple Music or Spotify, I mean, these days I'm listening to a lot more music at home because of this. And, you know, usually it's quiet during the day for the most part, but now I'm just like playing music like every other hour. So go to Spotify, go to Apple Music, or just go, you know, listen to an old episode of Frankly Drinking, you know, if you're really bored. But
yeah. So are you, you know, there's new Frank. There's new Frank coming, Larry. Are we talking about that now?
That's right. The 60th anniversary of Nice and Easy was just announced by the label.
Yes, the 60th anniversary of the number one album, Nice and Easy, one of the very best Sinatra albums of all time from Capitol. And it's the 60th anniversary, 1960 release, and it's coming this spring, available May 15th digital and June 5th on CD, vinyl, and limited edition colored vinyl, Larry. For all you vinyl aficionados out there who want to get some colored vinyl, you can get colored vinyl.
I didn't know that. Okay. What color is it?
The little note I have about it, I didn't write down what color it is. But yeah, a lot of them are blue because of old Blue Eyes.
Okay. I bet this
one's
pink.
They tend to be blue.
The dominant color on that cover is pink, so I bet it's pink.
I don't know. And there's a couple studio outtakes, by the way. I don't recall exactly what they are, but there's alternate takes of a couple of the songs. I think Nice and Easy might be one of them, and there's at least one other one. So there's going to be something for the completist out there to check out when this album comes out. Even if you've bought it a few times, there's a few copies around here, but I'm definitely going to be checking that out. As soon as it drops, I want to hear those bonus tracks on May 15th.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you should buy it for the first time if you don't have it. That's a good opportunity as well.
Right. If you don't have that vinyl, it's a beautiful package. Great photo of Frank and the design. We've talked about that before, but it's a great album as far as the design goes.
We might have to do a show on just that whole record. Now, was that the last number one Frank record? Like, what was the last number one Frank album? Do you know?
The last number one album?
Yeah.
I don't know, but Nice and Easy was a huge success. It was a number one album. I know that, but I doubt it was his last number one album. 1960. He probably put out a couple other ones after that. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Maybe Strangers in the Night. I don't know. We'll have to research that.
I mean, Strangers in the Night was a pretty big hit. I mean, My Way, all those albums came later.
Yeah. His last number one single was Something Stupid with Nancy. So that's what I was asking. I didn't know.
Well, okay, interesting. And we do have looking forward, Larry, to our next podcast. Just a little tease for those of you who may be looking forward to the one after this. We will be talking about a top five hit for Frank
that came quite
a bit after Something Stupid.
Stay tuned. It'll be here soon. We're going to release more, I think, this period of time just because of quarantine. Well, speaking of quarantine, it's, you know, right now it's allergy season. And a lot of us are affected by that. And so one thing that I like to do during allergy season, if you have a little scratch in your throat, or if you're preparing for a podcast, or if you're preparing to sing karaoke, or you're preparing for a Zoom call for work, you know, like 8 a.m., you've got a scratch in your throat. I like to pour a little toddy, and most people think that toddy should be hot, you know, and a hot toddy is really the way to go, but I like to make a toddy and this recipe right here, again, you don't want to waste.
What is a toddy? Let's just cut to the chase here. What is a toddy? I love the term, but let's educate. What is a toddy?
Well, a toddy is basically any alcohol based hot drink that has some sort of syrup or honey or lemon concoction in the drink. So, again, usually served hot, but what I recommend, if you've had a cold or if you're having allergies and you've got that kind of, you know, cough that won't go away after a cold, or you're just always kind of got a scratch in the back of your throat from pollen or from the tree pollens and grass.
Yeah.
Basically just take about half or a full tablespoon of honey and then some fresh, it's got to be fresh now. Lemon juice, just like lemon juice you just buy off the shelf is not going to be as good. So squeeze some lemons, usually the lemons that are left over from making your lemon syrup.
I have a feeling about where this is going. This is pretty funny. This is pretty funny. Okay, keep going.
So about a half ounce of lemon juice, a tablespoon of honey, and in this particular recipe, we are going to use Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey for a little extra honey flavor. And so you want to do 2 ounces of Tennessee honey, Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey, 2 ounces. And then you want to do 1 ounce of Jack Daniel's barrel strength, single barrel Tennessee whiskey. So take your 2 ounces of Tennessee honey, you take your 1 ounce of barrel strength, and you pour in, or you take a, you know, tablespoon of honey and you dissolve that honey in the whiskey.
Yeah.
And then you top it off with lemon juice and just kind of mix that up, and then you sip it. And I have some right here.
What?
Yeah. I made some earlier. Oh man. It's like a cough drop that tastes delicious. You know how most cough drops are like, I don't want to take a cough drop, just, you know, on the regular, it would be like candy. Well, this is like cough drop candy right here.
Okay, so in the entrance, I mean, the whole social distancing, podcast distancing, quite a separation here between me and Larry tonight, about 20 miles, something like that, round numbers, maybe 20 miles. So you're having that really nice toddy there that you've meticulously put together.
Yeah. It's tart,
from multiple
sweet,
ingredients.
So good, and, strong.
And you've really done a great job with it. I have in my hand a 100 ml bottle of Tennessee honey from Jack Daniel's. Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey. And you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to open this up. You can't hear it because it's a little plastic cap. I'm just going to take a swig. Just right from the bottom. I'm just going to check this out.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing about Tennessee honey. Now, honestly, the reason I'm drinking this toddy, by the way, is that I have had a little scratch in my throat for the last couple of days, but only because I've been outside working. But the Tennessee honey is actually, it's a really weird thing. It actually tastes very much like a honey, you know, flavored liquor. It's really good honey flavored liquor. If you want to call it that, there's a honey liqueur called Bayernjager that's like German, but this is really dirt cheap, and it mixes really well with like ginger ale. Ginger ale and Tennessee honey taste really good. If you're on the plane and they're serving Tennessee honey, have some Tennessee honey with ginger ale. Or, you know, if you're sitting on the back porch, put some lime or some lemon, and Tennessee honey and some ginger ale together, and that makes a great back porch drink.
You know, as far as tasting notes on this Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey, I'm getting a strong sense of bitter honey.
Yes.
A strong sense of bitter honey candy on this.
Bitter honey candy. Yeah.
I haven't had one of those since Halloween, maybe 20 years ago, but
nobody liked getting a bit of honey. Nobody liked getting a bit of honey at all.
Bit of honey. Yeah. It's mostly the texture, not the taste, but it's, it's kind of a bit of honey / butterscotch, sort of a butterscotchy flavor.
Yeah.
Like the ones your grandmother used to have around.
Right.
You know, you'd have those butterscotch cause there wasn't any other candy around and you got stuck with butterscotch.
All the old grannies had butterscotch candy lying around, or Werther's originals.
Werther's originals, yeah, caramel. Yeah. Those caramels, hard caramels.
That's why they made cough drops. I think that's why they made cough drops because basically old people were just serving you cough drops in some sort of fashion. But yeah, this just mix this with a little honey and lemon. If it will work, it's, you know, the toddy.
Yeah.
This goes back to the 20s, probably earlier. You know, this kind of little concoction, basically medicinal whiskey was used for a lot of purposes. And I think that you can actually whip this up at home and just, it's not necessarily to get drunk or to get, you know, buzzed. It just puts a nice little coating on the back of your throat so you can actually have a conversation. Cause there's going to be a lot of talking going on in your house right now. There's going to be a lot of conversations. There could be a lot of screaming going on and shouting because you're all cooped up, but just pour yourself a toddy and it'll all be good.
Yeah. I don't know that honey, the Tennessee honey is, not exactly, something I don't think they had me in mind when they made that. I mean,
I think it's a mixer.
It could be a decent mixer.
Yeah.
Something to mix with something else, but
totally.
I don't know. Not to be sexist, but I think it's kind of maybe more of a ladies liqueur kind of a thing, something for people that maybe just something for people who don't like bourbon that much.
Well,
or
I mean,
Tennessee
the
whiskey
flavored,
that much, but
the flavored,
a lot milder, a lot sweeter.
The flavored whiskey category is actually the most popular whiskey category because you've got Fireball, you've got, you know, cinnamon flavored and all these different flavored spirits. I mean, flavored spirits actually dominate the groups of vodka and whiskey. So that's,
man, no, I'm not saying they're not popular, man. I'm not saying they're not popular. I think they're popular. I hear you, but, I don't know. It was good. I enjoyed trying it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But
it's a mixer.
I'm kind of glad I didn't buy a whole 750 or like a 175 of that.
it'll pick you up. I mean, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The whole idea is that it, you know, it'll make you feel better.
It'll make you feel pretty good.
Atati's got plenty of vitamin C, and it'll pick you up. You know, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
It'll make your day.
So, speaking of pick me up, Larry, we've got a Discover Frank track tonight that is fantastic, perfect for the occasion. It's a song written by Dorothy Fields, who did the lyric, and Jerome Kearns. And it's this recording is from Sinatra and the Swing and Brass, 1962. You've heard us talk about that. Neil Hefti arranged the album, and it was released on Reprise Records. This song was written back in 1936. It was done for Swing Time with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. And of course, this is a song that everyone did, including Ella Fitzgerald and Nelson Riddle, the same year that Frank recorded this in 1962.
Oh, wow.
They also did this. Ella did it with Nelson's arrangements. And it is it's a great song from a dark time, from the Depression. And Dorothy Fields, by the way, she also wrote "Sunny Side of the Street," which we heard earlier.
Nice.
She wrote over 400 songs for Broadway and was an amazing lyricist and later librettist. Is that if that's how you say it about with Broadway shows? She wrote Broadway shows and. She's got a way with words, and I think this is a good one for us for our Discover Frank track from Frankly Drinking.
Nice. Yep. We'll end on this. Everybody be safe. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. We'll be back soon with another one. Remember to pour them strong. Then anything you spill on yourself, use that to rinse and wash your hands with. And then go ahead and hit the hand sanitizer and then wash your hands for 20 seconds after that. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Take care, everybody. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. And you've been listening to Frankly Drinking.
No, nothing's impossible. I have found for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up. Dust myself off and start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up. Dust off, start over again. Work like a soul inspired until the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, start all over again.